Ross Wilkers of Executive Mosaic looking at the GovCon Index for August. Ross, a pretty crazy ride on Wall Street during the month of August. How did that impact what we see in the GovCon Index this month? Thanks for coming on as always.
Oh, sure. No worries. Well, if you don't like volatility in the markets, the month of August wasn't for you, and the broader market had a sell-off, and the index was no different than the rest of the U.S. market and global market. So we saw a 5% decline between July 31st and August 31st that mirrored the rest of the markets. And then in the 6-day plunge between the 17th and the 25th, where the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ all approached the correction territory of 10% decline, the index itself was actually 9.9% down during those 6 days. So we came pretty close to declaring our index to be officially in a correction below that 10% barrier, but it recovered much like the rest of the markets did.
You point out to me that 11 of the 30 companies in the GovCon index are in the S&P 500. Does that mean that most of the time what the S&P does reflects what you see in the GovCon index, Ross?
Yes, for the most part. If you were to take the index chart or worm and then do a comparison with the S&P 500, you'll find that they pretty much trend close to each other in the same direction. Now, on days where the S&P 500 shows neutral territory, on such as a light volume trading day, once in a while you'll see the index nominally up and the S&P nominally down, or vice versa. But for the most part, if you compare the S&P 500 with the index and do that side by side, you get roughly the same trajectory.
We are just a couple of weeks from the end of the fiscal year. We don't know what's going to happen with the continuing resolution. We don't know what's going to happen with fiscal 2016 spending overall. Do we have any sense yet whether that's impacting the stock prices and the observations of investors on the government contracting space, Ross?
So with September 30th approaching, we're hearing the talk of a continuing resolution in Congress again, unless they can do some kind of a budget deal, which most government observers would tell you is not likely. So before I came in here, I looked at how the big five defense contractors performed on the stock market the last time we talked about a sequester in between January and March of 2013. Those big five, as we discussed in the previous discussion, Northrop, General Dynamics, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and Boeing. Those are the five that the street looks at to measure how the defense industry is doing. And we saw a little bit of a dip in those five, all five, between the beginning of January and the end of March 2013, when that sequester officially kicked in. And that was roughly between a 4 and 5% decline for each of them. But since then, actually, if you compared all five of those, they're all up between 1.5 times and almost twofold appreciation in value since then. And there are other factors in that. Some of them have, particularly Northrop and General Dynamics, have been aggressive with share repurchases. So that's one factor that's in there. But generally, when you compare it over the 2 or 3 year trajectory, you see an upward movement there by 1.5 or 2 times, and that's why, you know, they tell you when we all plan our 401ks and other retirement programs, the stock market's a pretty safe bet to get value from.
Ross Wilkers of Executive Mosaic is tracking, along with his colleagues, the GovCon Index. 30 companies make up the GovCon Index, all of them in the government contracting space. And you can read more through a link we have at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Ross, the big announcement over the last couple of weeks regarding the largest companies is the acquisition by CSC of SRA International. What kind of impact do you expect that to have on the index, and what kind of impact do you expect to have that to have on the contracting company landscape?
More consolidation, as we've seen this year, in a year of deals and consolidation that I don't think anybody's seen since the mid to late 90s, which was the last round. So CSC had originally announced that they were going to spin off their U.S. government services business in November, and that's still going to happen. And when that spinoff happens, we'll see the what's known as CSC Gov, or Computer Sciences Government Services, the spinoff, will merge with SRA International upon when that deal closes. And with the IT and tech services market becoming a very crowded space, it's all about it's become more competitive than ever, and you have to stand out, and that's the deal they made us to do that. As far as the index goes, we will have a decision to make there with companies that go initial with their initial public offerings. It is a little tricky to measure when it first starts out, because the stock is offered to the street at an initial value, and then it can take between 3 and 6 months to settle out. And for the market observers listening to the show now, you can look at Facebook's IPO, a different industry, where it took a lot of time for the street to figure out what the stock was actually worth. So, but that will be certainly one to watch in come November.
Do we have a sense of whether that transaction is an attempt to buy market share, or whether it's an attempt to get into businesses that CSC didn't anticipate it would be in once it spun off its government work, or some combination of both, or some other kind of transaction altogether?
It's certainly it's a combination of both. In the this is specifically with the services part of the government contracting. They talk about the combined company pursuing growth in the areas that both companies have a presence in, and they're all the buzzwords that we hear about, cybersecurity and cloud, enterprise IT, and the intelligence market. So it's not just about added scale. It's about market share and just differentiating yourself from other competitors. And it's interesting timing that this happens in November. And we're also waiting to see what Lockheed Martin does with their enterprise and information technology business, and also L3 with their national security business, looking to do, they're doing strategic reviews of both of those. So it comes at certainly an interesting juncture in that, and those are three events we're certainly going to watch.
And those three events are ones that we know of right now, that we've had clues about already. Is it possible that there are other dominoes that could fall that maybe we don't know about right now, but come December or March of next year, we will know very well about?
Certainly could, and one thing to look at, not specific to the GovCon industry, but just any time you want anything to look at in the M&A market, is this historically low interest rate environment where the rates are at pretty much near zero. And actually, Lockheed's CEO, when the company announced their buy of the helicopter maker Sikorsky, they cited this historically low interest rate environment as presenting a unique opportunity for them to do such a, to do a deal of that size. So with the interest rates being low, although with the Federal Reserve, their meeting is, next meeting is the 16th or the 17th, and according to Bloomberg and a market wrap I just checked yesterday, traders are looking at, or they're pricing the odds of interest rates going up at about a third probability. So it's anybody's guess there, but if you want to look at opportunities for companies in the M&A market, interest rates are one way to look at it.
It's hard to resist 0% money, isn't it, Ross?
It's certainly when you want to buy a company for $8 billion, as Lockheed did with Sikorsky, that's, you certainly want to take advantage of it while it's there.
Free money is a great incentive. Ross Wilkers is newsroom editor at Executive Mosaic. It's great to talk to you as always, my friend. Thanks for your time.
Great.